Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in the conversation yourself. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. We'd love to hear from you. And we're going to get started here with the Word Prayer in just a moment, but I'm just trying to do some computer work here. I'll explain that too as we get started. So pray for me. I can get all that straightened out as we're going, but let's go ahead and open in a Word of Prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity that we have to come together tonight. Pray that you would bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And use us for your glory, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And I'm trying out a new laptop here this evening. My laptop died last week after the Sunday night program, and so it's always a challenge when you're switching over to a new laptop. But so pray for me that I can get everything to sync up and get everything together. And we were trying to have everything set up and be online when the program started on our YouTube broadcast as well. But unfortunately, it decided that it didn't want to cooperate with the Wi-Fi hookup, so I had to redo everything and dump everything out, and here we are again. So anyway, always something, always some challenge, but glad to be able to be with you tonight. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can go to that page and you can link to our social media. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. Also on Parler, on usa.life. And of course our YouTube when that works. And you can also link to our church page for the Bible Baptist Church as well. As I said, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And we certainly invite you to check us out as well. Also wanted to mention as we get started here this evening, this coming Friday, let's see, what would that be? The 18th, I think it is. Friday's the 18th, I believe. I am going to have on our Friday program a candidate for Congress for the U.S. House 11th District here in Ohio. Yeah, that's the 18th, Friday the 18th, Laverne Gore. And some of you know Laverne Gore, and she is an eminently qualified woman for this position. And she is going to be on the air with me, and she's actually, I think, going to be in the studio with me, and we're going to be talking on Friday the 18th at her position as a conservative black Republican woman running for the U.S. House. And it's amazing how the 11th district, in all fairness and disclosure, is the congressional district that I live in. It is a strange district. If you think about it, if you look at it on paper, it's very gerrymandered. It includes much of the east side of Cuyahoga County, as well as the Central Park, Cleveland, and East Cleveland, and things like that. And then it comes down across through Newburgh Heights, I believe, Seven Hills, and Broadview Heights. It does not include Independence, where I'm sitting right now, or our Valley View, but it comes down through Seven Hills, Broadview Heights, and it doesn't include Brecksville either. Then it gets into Richfield Village, Richfield Township, and then from there down to Bath Township, into the city of Fairlawn, And from there, it reaches out with fingers into various parts of Akron's west, northwest side. So it's kind of a long gerrymandered district. And the current incumbent, of course, Marcia Fudge, who, of course, is more than welcome to come on the program. Don't think she will, but she is definitely not a friend to those who are pro-life. In fact, she's very much for Planned Parenthood, and she is certainly not a friend of President Trump. And so, but on the other hand, Laverne Gore is strongly pro-life, and she's got good, strong conservative values, and she holds to many of the same positions that President Trump does. And but that's not the main reason I'm voting for. Main reason I'm voting for her and supporting her is that she is a strong Christian pro-life candidate that wants to be a voice for life in the U.S. House. And that's one of the main reasons I'm supporting her. But she's going to be on and talk about how, as a Christian, she can make a difference in politics. And so hope you'll tune in for that. That's this coming Friday, the 18th at 1:30 here on AM 1220, The Word. All right, let's see. I'm trying to see if there's anything else I want to touch on before we get into things here today. But as I said, or tonight, our phone number is toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to jump into our phone calls here this evening. And I believe first up, we've got Nancy calling tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Yes, Laverne Gore, she sounds like somebody that would certainly be worthwhile voting for, as I know Marcia Fudge, she's been she's been in power for several years now. I'm trying to remember who her predecessor
Her predecessor passed away while in office, and Marcia Fudge was appointed to the seat initially. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then she got elected.
Yeah, she fulfilled. She filled out the remainder of, I think, the term, and then has been there ever since.
Mm-hmm. Well, this evening, as you well know, your anniversary weekend is next weekend, and then also it's our missions, weekend, and so I've heard people say that the rapture could occur on the Feast of the Trumpets, which is 9/19. Wouldn't that be exciting if it happened during our missions banquet or missions weekend and your anniversary Sunday week?
Well, I was going to say, you bring up a very interesting point there, and I know there's people listening who are going to quickly say, but wait, the Bible says we don't know the day or the hour, so you can't make a prediction like that.
Right. Matthew 24:36.
Yeah.
That day and hour, no man. But there's some people that seem to think, but I don't know, why is it the Feast of Trumpets, why is it that some people think that it, I know they're in the minority. If you could explain that, I'd like to know why.
Well, sure, and that's a very interesting thing. And just give me one second. I got to lean over here and move a screen. I think I might have got my laptop to do the YouTube broadcast here tonight, or the YouTube broadcast. I think it might have just clicked. It looks like it's going okay.
Praise the Lord.
Distracted me a little bit. Let me just do a couple of things here real quick. But the objection there is usually you don't know the day. No man knows the day nor the hour. And that is true. I mean, Jesus Christ said it.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly not going to argue with that. But notice what he said.
Isn't it true even that Jesus doesn't know? It says, my Father only.
Well,
did I understand that correctly? Even Jesus doesn't know the exact date?
During his incarnation here on the earth, Jesus limited his power and his abilities and stuff in many ways, and he had he never could have lived here with us. We would have all been struck dead. And there's nobody who could stand in the presence of a holy God. So he had to limit himself, his power and his abilities. And in part of what he took on as limitations, he limited himself in some of his knowledge. But as God, I believe in heaven now, he probably knows the exact time. But during his earthly ministry, he certainly did not know and was limited in that sense of that information was withheld from him.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, you're saying that while he was on earth, while he was in the incarnation, he did not know, but now that he's, you know, back in heaven, that he does know.
Yeah, I think in heaven he's aware, because as God, he's God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. They're co-equal and in power and all. So when we look at this, but if you notice what he said, that was Matthew chapter 25 and
24.
I'm sorry, 24.
36.
Yeah, in verse 36, and I want to go there specifically. Matthew 24, verse 36. He says this, and let me give you the exact words of what he said. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And then he gives us this. But as the days of Noah, and that's Noah, were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, notice what he says here in verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And it goes on to talk some more about this here. Well, actually, let's go ahead and read the next two verses as well. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, when he's talking about that, he's talking about the day, he's talking about the hour. But if you go over to 1 Thessalonians, okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, he says this, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, and this is writing right after he describes the catching away of the believers, and that's what Jesus was talking about in the days of Noah, when the coming of the Son of Man shall be. He's talking about when Jesus comes to catch away the believers, that's described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for time's sake, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This takes place prior to the seven-year tribulation. At the end of the seven-year tribulation, Jesus returns to the earth where he sets foot on the Mount of Olives. And according to Zechariah's prophecy in Zechariah 14, I believe it is, the Mount of Olives splits in two. There's a fault line right there exactly where the Bible describes that it will split. And that's when he comes at the end of the tribulation. Revelation 19 talks about coming in power and glory and the armies of heaven with him. And elsewhere in Scripture talks about every eye will behold. But the first time that he comes as a thief in the night. And here it is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, again, where we're reading verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And this is a thing that says that we don't need to know about the seasons, but we need to be concerned about the day. And it never says we can't know the season. It just says we don't know the day nor the hour. Now, I could spend a couple of hours just talking about some of this, but for time's sake on the radio here tonight, let me put it this way. The Bible, or Jesus said, nobody knows the day nor the hour. He doesn't say you don't know the season. And we're clearly in the season. And here's why people say it could be on what we're talking about here, on on Rosh Hashanah, which is the Feast of Trumpets. And that's what starts next weekend. And the idea is that there's seven Levitical feasts that Jesus fulfilled. And of those seven Levitical feasts, he fulfilled the first four. He fulfilled them in order, and he fulfilled them at the time of that feast. Now, this is important because what happened was Jesus fulfilled the first one, which was the Feast of Passover. And Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb that was sacrificed for us, he was killed, or actually, I should say he died on the day when they were preparing for the Passover. They were killing the Passover lambs at the time that Jesus died on the cross. See how he fulfilled that? The next feast, of course, then is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which took place immediately after Passover. So Jesus died on the cross. They had to have him off the cross because John said that was a holy or a high Sabbath. It was a high Sabbath because it was the Passover Sabbath, and the body of Jesus was taken off the cross. He gave up he gave up his life for us on the cross. He shed his blood and he died to pay for our sins, and he was off the cross before the Passover started, and he was in the tomb, and he was our sacrifice, and he was without sin. Well, leaven is a picture of sin. Jesus told the disciples to beware the leaven of the Pharisees. He said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It only takes a little, little sin to get started. And so Jesus was the unleavened bread. He is the bread of life, but he was unleavened bread because leavening was a type of sin. It's a decay process when the yeast eats the sugars and starches in the dough, and it produces carbon dioxide, and the lump rises because of the leavening process. And so Jesus was our unleavened bread. So that's the second one. The next one that took place was the Feast of the First Fruits. And they would go into the field, and I can't remember off the top of my head whether it was the oat or barley or wheat harvest, and they would identify what looked like was going to be the first head of grain to ripen. And they would tie a scarlet thread around that lump of that head of grain. And then in the Feast of the First Fruits, they would go out, they would harvest that first ripening head of grain, and they would bring it in as an offering to the Lord. And Jesus, remember, he's described in the Bible as the first begotten of the dead, the first fruits, and all of these things. And so as a consequence, he fulfilled the Feast of First Fruits. Again, he was resurrected from the dead, and he appeared as the first fruits. And that would be in fulfillment of that feast. Well, then that leaves the next feast in order is the Feast of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, Jesus prophesied that the Holy Spirit would come down. Remember, he told the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem there in Acts chapter 1, and they would receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost come upon them. Well, that happened on the day of Pentecost. And so Pentecost was fulfilled. But none of the others have been fulfilled in their type. Well, what's the next feast then? The next holy day of the seven Levitical feasts is Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. Now, there's something unusual about Rosh Hashanah that makes people speculate that the rapture will take place around the time of Rosh Hashanah. And this is why. Passover was the first, I believe, first full moon in the spring. And so you could tell very easily what day and everything that was going to be. And then first fruits and, I'm sorry, leavened bread and unleavened bread, first fruits and Pentecost, all was tied to that. So you knew exactly what day they were going to be. So of those first four feasts, you couldn't say nobody knows the day. Okay? But the Feast of Trumpets is the Jewish New Year, and it is tied to not the full moon, but the first of the new moon. It's not tied to the full moon, I mean to say. It's tied to the new moon.
New moon.
And the new moon, how do you know when it's the new moon? Well, the new moon is when the moon is completely dark. It's in the Earth's shadow. And if it's a cloudy night or something like that, how do you know it's the new moon? So you know the season. It's in the autumn. You know the season. And so you're waiting for the new moon that's by the autumnal equinox, which this year is September 22nd. And so the new moon will be in that time frame. But up until relatively recently, they calculated the new moon based on astronomical calculations and things like that. But in Jesus' day and prior to that, they had watchers that were out watching. And the watchers had to watch and they had to wait. They knew the season that they were in. They knew that it was close. But you know what? They didn't know the day nor the hour of when the new moon would take place. So they had to be, just as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said that we should be watching here in, we come down through there. We were talking about verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not in the dark night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Notice verse 6 here, but let us watch and be sober. See, we're supposed to be watching for our Lord's return. But the people watching for the new moon did not know the day nor the hour. And the way that they would tell that it was the new moon is that they would look and they would see the tiniest little sliver of the moon beginning to show. And they would say, there, this was the new moon. And they would have to give a report to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin would then investigate and substantiate the report. And then, you know what they would do? They would sound a trumpet. What? And wherever people were, whatever time of the day or night that it was, when you heard the trumpet, you knew that the Feast of Trumpets was starting. If you were in your house, you were to head to the feast. If you were in the field, you were supposed to leave your work, head to the feast. And you didn't know the day nor the hour. You knew the season that you were in. You were watching and waiting, listening for the trumpet. And, of course, what did he give us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? For what happens, he says in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. There's going to be a trumpet sounding. And so people naturally look at, well, he fulfilled the first four feasts in their order. Why wouldn't he fulfill the next one in its order? And that's the one that has to do with the Feast of Trumpets, the calling the Jewish people to the feast, and in this case, calling the believers to be with the Lord in the air. And what happens? According to Revelation chapter 19, we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, the next feast, of course, is the Day of Atonement, where the Jewish people would confess their sin and everything. It was supposed to bring them closer to God. And what do you have next? The tribulation period. And then, of course, after that, the Feast of Booths, Tabernacles, where Jesus is going to come and tabernacle with men during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. So it makes sense that when the rapture, and I'm not saying it's going to happen next week, but then, and we're quickly running out of time here, but let me give you something else. My calendar, I got a pocket calendar in my hand right now. And in this pocket calendar, here's where it says that Rosh Hashanah is. It says it's on September 19th. I've got another calendar, not this one, but my other calendar says Rosh Hashanah is on September 18th, 19th, and 20th. I believe. I think I got another one that said Rosh Hashanah is on the 19th, 20th, and 21st. The reason they have it all over the place is because they're not sure the exact day, because today, unlike in times past, they now have watchers watching for the new moon. They've reconstituted the Sanhedrin, and Rosh Hashanah does not officially start based on the astronomical date. It starts when they announce that it's the new moon, just like they did in Jesus' day. That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Well, fascinating. Thank you for explaining it. So, I understand why some people do guess. It does make sense, but of course we have to go back to Matthew 24:36. But now I understand.
Yeah, so we don't know the day nor the hour, but we know the season.
Yeah, and the main thing is to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus could come back any minute, and we need to live for Christ all the time. It's very inspirational.
Oh, absolutely.
To think of that. Yes. Well, thank you very much for explaining that, Pastor.
Well, I appreciate you asking. And let me just tack on one thing. We just got about a minute or so. The other thing, too, is the generation that saw Israel become a nation, which was 1948. You know, there's good reason to believe that's 70 to 80 years that the Lord will return to set up his kingdom on earth before that 70 to 80 years transpires. So you subtract, 7 years from that, and that gives you a window of time from 2011 to 2021. Some people calculate it that way. But again, we don't know the day nor the hour, and I'm not going to say that the Lord's coming back on this Friday or Saturday or Sunday or next year at that time. We could be seriously miscalculating all kinds of things. It could be another 5 years, 10 years, or this year. We don't know. But we need, like you said, Nancy, to be ready, don't we?
Be ready at all times. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the question. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And stay tuned. We've got another half an hour to go. We'll just take a short break here, but we'll be with you until midnight. So stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a phone call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And visit us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And hopefully, I think we're live streaming there on YouTube as well. You can find that there, as well as links to our social media, which would include YouTube. You can go to YouTube and look for Live with Pastor Al, or you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. I believe it's shared over to there, and you'll find it on there. I'm breaking in a new laptop computer here tonight, so I'm kind of being challenged here this evening, because every time I think I have something set up, it suddenly decides that the password that you got, we don't like. And so I'm not sure what things are happening there right now, because in fact, I'm just checking my Facebook page right now, and I don't see it, even though I know that I did share it at one time. Maybe I'll try sharing that again. But you can find out more about us there online, livewithpastoral.com, and I hope you'll do that. We're brought to you, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, and we've got links to that as well at that page. You can also find East Coast Pizza. We're sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights as well. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100 for pickup or delivery. All right. Well, we're going to get back into some things here. We were talking about the Bible and the catching away the believers, an event referred in the scriptures as the rapture. And there's other things happening in the world today. Just a reminder, on Friday, we're going to have our Friday program, Friday, 1:30 in the afternoon, right here on AM 1220, The Word. We'll be having Laverne Gore, who's a candidate for the U.S. House 11th District here in Ohio, and she'll be talking about as a Christian pro-life conservative black woman running for Congress and what she hopes to be able to accomplish. So I hope you'll be able to watch that. All right. Let's see. I'm just trying to figure out where we're at with everything. I just got crazy stuff going on with my computer, but we'll just ignore that for now. And we've got a caller calling in, and we have got Terry online, so I'm going to divert my attention from my computer screen that's doing weird things, and we'll pick up Terry here. Well, thanks for waiting, Terry.
Good evening, Pastor O.
Good evening. Glad to have you tonight.
Yes. Oh, it was always a pleasure.
Amen.
Really interesting listening to what you had to say at the beginning of the show with the Nancy yourself, about the end times and all that.
But, mm-hmm.
You know, eschatology is a hard subject.
Well, it's a fascinating subject. A lot of people are scared of it, but, you know, it's in the Bible.
That we have nothing to be afraid of. We have the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm. And if we know Christ as our Savior, like you said, nothing to be afraid of. We know where our eternal destiny lies, and so we look forward to that.
That's why people need to get on their knees and accept Christ as Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Today's the day of salvation.
Yes.
But I was going to bring, today I went to church and they were bringing up something that troubled me, actually, the way they explained it, but I just wanted your input on this. It's in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6.
1 John?
Yeah, First Epistle of John.
All right.
Chapter 5,
and let's see here, verse number 6. All right.
I was going to bring up the king, because I've been doing quite a bit of studying in changed lately.
Oh, and before we get into 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, let me apologize. Last week, I think I was in the wrong chapter because I was in the chapter after the king we were talking about, and I was it was late, and it was at the end of the program and kind of in a hurry and really wasn't seeing everything that you were trying to bring out. So maybe one day we'll get back to that. But anyway.
I encourage people to really get it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, those things are recorded for our admonition, that we can learn from them and that we can benefit and learn from the lives of these people, good and bad.
And there's actually teaching out there right now that people are saying that we don't need the Old Testament. You know, yes, we do.
That just always boggles my mind. Yeah.
It's terrible.
That's like getting in your car and saying, well, we don't need the tires.
Yeah. We need the whole Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So how can we live by the whole Word of God if we don't have the whole Word of God?
Yeah, it's the Old Testament that substantiates the New Testament.
Yeah, they say, what's the percentage? I think 50% of the New Testament is Old Testament or more?
Oh, much of it, yeah, because of all the extensive quotes. Jesus quoted Old Testament scripture extensively. Paul, in his writings, quoted the Old Testament quite often. The others all did as well. They all quoted the Old Testament. And
I mentioned quickly about Rehoboam and Jeroboam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to get those two mixed up in Elijah and mm-hmm. Elijah. I have a more clearer understanding of who they are.
Yeah.
You know, the two prophets and the two kings. And,
mm-hmm.
and I've been really blessed lately because of this.
Yeah, it's good. I encourage people to read that. I mean, you know, a lot of people like to read biographies, don't they?
Yes, I like biographies.
Well, there's a great place to read some little biographical, short biographical pieces is reading the Kings,
yeah.
First and Second Kings. Actually,
too.
Yeah, if First and Second Kings and then First and Second Chronicles, oftentimes one will give some information. They're like the Gospels, you know, that each Gospel gives some information that the other ones don't, and the First and Second Kings will have some information that First and Second Chronicles don't, and vice versa, even though they cover much of the same events.
Yes, that's right.
But
well, anyway, I guess I should get back to that.
Yes.
I go on and on about that. Excited because I've been learning a lot.
Yeah. So we were in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 6, where it says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth."
Yes. And the thing today, you know, I got to admit that I've had a little bit of problems with this. It's understanding what the water and the blood is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I've seen it, I don't know if I see it right, but I mean, Jesus was born by water when he was born.
Right.
And he was born by blood. He had blood and water.
Yeah, and
I don't know if I'm seeing that correctly or not.
I think that kind of echoes, if we hold our fingers in 1 John, and go back to the Gospel of John.
Yeah, John 3:16.
Well, yeah, but I was going to go back actually to a little bit further up in John chapter 3, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus.
Yes.
And he makes the statement here in verse number 3, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Well, obviously that can't happen, and Nicodemus knows that. And so Jesus says in verse 5, "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say, said unto thee, ye must be born again." And so clearly the context here, I know some churches teach differently on this, but the context, clearly Nicodemus is trying to struggle with understanding the difference between a physical birth and a second birth, this born again, which is a spiritual birth. The physical birth, Jesus is saying that a man is born of water. Well, that's the physical birth, and that's explained. He says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And then we have to have a spiritual birth, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so the water, you know, one of the amazing things of God's creation is that before we're born, we're aquatic creatures. A lot of people don't realize that. We're literally aquatic creatures. We live in a sac, essentially, within the mother's womb that contains the amniotic fluid, which is essentially water with nutrients, electrolytes, and different things. And that water, we're breathing it in and out. It's in us, and we live in that watery environment. But before the baby is born, the water breaks. And that's a sign that the baby is coming, because now that the water has broken, that child has to move from that watery environment. Now, the child is getting oxygen through the umbilical cord, obviously, so even when the water breaks, he's not going to suffocate because he's not getting the oxygen from the amniotic fluid, but there's various things in the amniotic fluid, and when the water breaks and that child comes out into the world through an amazing series of events that take place, that child goes from an aquatic creature essentially to a land-dwelling, terrestrial-based creature. And the circulation system changes direction, lungs inflate, all kinds of things take place. It's absolutely fascinating. Don't have the time to get into that right now. But the physical birth is of the water. The spiritual birth is of the Spirit. And so the only way you can be born a second time, you have to be born first time, don't you?
That's exactly. I had my finger on Judge. I was going to bring that up to you just before you did, because I had my finger right on there.
Yeah.
And I because I believe that both these scriptures coincide somewhat.
Well, yeah. And I mean, it's John writing in both cases here. And so here's Jesus. Jesus came into the world by water. Right. He went through that birth process. If Jesus Christ had not come into the world, he could not have purchased our salvation on the cross. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is every bit as important to our salvation as his death on the cross.
Absolutely.
When he shed his blood to pay for our sins. So, you know, the water and the blood are both important in our salvation. And we have the idea here that Christ came into the world by a physical birth, but of course, because he had no human father, he did not inherit the sin nature, because by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and that's, of course, Adam, and we're all descendants of Adam, so we all inherit a sin nature through the father's side. So by having no human father, that's how Mary, with a sin nature of her own, could give birth to a child that has no sin nature, because there was no human father involved. And so Jesus came in, and in a sense, that made his blood unique as well. The blood of Christ is unique, because your blood and my blood is a result of a combination of DNA from your mother and your father, or in my case, from my mother and my father. But Jesus' blood was a result of Mary's DNA, as well as DNA that was created by God.
By God, yeah.
In order, and we know that DNA was created by God, because the only way you can have a male child is for the father to supply the Y chromosome. Remember Henry VIII, King of England? He kept getting rid of his wives because they weren't giving him a male heir for the throne. Well, it wasn't their fault, it was his fault. The Y chromosome cannot come from the mother. She only contributes an X. The father contributes an X or a Y. So if you get a double X, that's going to be female. If you get an XY, it's going to be male. And that's the way it works out. So the blood of Christ was unique. If it wasn't for his unique blood that was then shed on the cross, well, we wouldn't have salvation. So Jesus came into the world by water and the blood. The incarnation of Christ was just as important as the blood of Christ. And both of them were necessary so that we would have a Savior who could purchase our salvation on the cross.
And that's why his blood cleanses us from all.
Yeah, not somebody else's blood, the blood of the lambs and the things that were shed in the temple and in the synagogue prior to that, and the other offerings that were made. That was a temporary thing that predicted and looked forward to the coming shed blood of Christ. As I was saying in the last half hour, he fulfilled the Passover feast because he was our Passover lamb. Even John the Baptist, when Jesus came to the River Jordan, and John pointed him out and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so Jesus, because he was born into this world by water, and because he had unique blood, because he was the Christ, without a human father, he was able to do what nobody else could do. And he was able to do what the blood of goats and lambs and stuff could only point to. He was able to actually purchase our salvation with his shed blood. That's a marvelous thing, isn't it?
Yes, it's only by his blood. That's why it's so important for us to believe in him.
Exactly. Exactly.
The only thing that can save us is his blood.
Yes, the blood of Christ. And, and then when we believe that Christ shed his blood to pay for our sins, you know, when we look at that, we realize it's not the church that saves us. It's not our good works that save us. It's not our sacrifices that save us. It's not what we give that saves us. It's not our attitude that saves us. It's only the blood of Christ.
Right.
And when we understand that only the blood of Christ is sufficient to pay for our sins, then we turn away from whatever we think is sufficient, because a lot of people just think, well, I'm not that bad, or my church, you know, I go to church, my church, because I go there, I'm okay, because I was born in America, I must be okay. I wasn't born in a Muslim country, I'm not a Muslim, so I must be okay, or I try to be nice, or whatever. They come up with any kind of number of crutches. I heard somebody recently on the radio saying, we need to pray for people that God takes the crutch away from them, that they're leaning on, that keeps them from salvation. When we realize that nothing else is sufficient, and we turn to Christ in faith and say, Lord, I believe that you came into this world, the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, and you came into this world and you came in a miraculous fashion. You lived a perfect life without sin. You had no sin nature. You went to the cross and you shed your unique blood to pay for my sins. And when we understand that and put our faith in Christ, we confess that we're a sinner to him. And we certainly can't confess every sin, because do you know every sin you've ever committed?
Probably one way or another, we sin every day.
Yeah, you don't know half the sins you commit, probably, really, if you think about it.
You can never be perfect in this life.
Exactly. So which... Yeah, so which...
You have to flesh your mind to things of the flesh, but they have to spirit the things of the spirit.
Exactly. And see, that's what you said, is what you're doing to God. You're confessing to him. You agree, I'm not perfect, and I can never be perfect on my own. My church ain't going to get me there. My money's not going to get me there. My name's not going to get me there. My sacrifice, my works, none of that's going to get me there. And I throw myself upon your mercy, trusting and believing that only the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross can get me there. It's only the blood of Christ that can get me the forgiveness of sin. And when we do that, we call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says we're saved. Our sins are forgiven, and the Spirit of God takes up residence in us, and our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he says we're sealed until the day of repentance.
Redemption.
Yeah, redemption. I said repentance. Yeah, the day of redemption, and he's going to call us up to be with him in glory, and we belong to him. We're adopted into his family. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so it's a precious gift. And we know that that was accomplished when Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins. Now, here's the thing. He died. He was buried 3 days, three nights later. He came up from the grave, victorious over sin and death. That proves that the blood was sufficient. Because if the blood of Christ was not sufficient, he couldn't have rose from the dead, because he wouldn't have been the sacrifice. He wouldn't have been the Christ.
I encourage anybody that's listening in that hasn't really made that commitment.
Yes.
You know, here's your opportunity right now.
Well, exactly, exactly. And we pray that the Holy Spirit gives people understanding and brings them under conviction of their lost condition, that they put their faith in Christ, like Nancy brought up in the last half hour. You know, when she was asking, you know, do you think the Lord might come back next weekend? Some people teach that. Well, he could. He could come back tonight. He could come back next year. We don't know the exact day nor hour, but
we can know by the signs and the wonders.
We know we're close, and so we know now is the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You know, if we're
so near, it's going to be harder. It's going to get harder for people to believe because
so you know why? Yeah, why risk missing? You know, missing out. You know, as it said, as in the days of Noah, you know, they were just eating, drinking, carrying on with life as normal, and the flood came and took them all away, and they missed the boat. Well, our boat, our ark, is Christ, and we don't want to miss the boat, do we?
Well, it's like, this whole chapter, First Epistle, chapter 5, itself sums it all up.
Exactly. And
what we need to do.
Yeah. And then, of course, verse 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So you've got the Godhead here, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. That Word is the Son, obviously. They bear record in heaven of the truth of this.
Eh?
I'm sorry?
I think some Bibles are taking this out.
Oh, yeah, and they claim falsely. I know we got less than 3 minutes. They claim falsely it wasn't in the older Bibles. It's interesting because it was in the old Syriac in the year 170 A.D., the old Latin of 200 A.D. It was in the Vulgate, Latin Vulgate, in the 4th and 5th centuries, and the old Italic of the 4th and 5th centuries. And I think it's the NIV says that, no Greek manuscripts have this prior to the 1600s or 16th century, which would be the 1500s, I guess. But when you look at it, Tatian quoted this in the year 150, and Tertullian quoted it in the year 200, and Cyprian referred to it in the year 225, and on and on and on. People in the 1st, 2nd, 3rd centuries, 4th centuries, 5th centuries all quoted or referred to it, and Bibles in various languages all had it there. I heard one time that somebody said, if you don't believe it, go to Antioch. They have the copy there, and you can see it right there. Well, it's no wonder that people who attack the Word of God attack this passage, because it talks about the record in heaven and the fact that the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Not meaning one in agreement, but meaning one in the same God. And that's a tremendous passage there, and it's a passage that goes all the way back to the very first century, and we can have evidence to show that. But hey, Terry, I think we're out of time here today, but what a great passage, especially to follow up Nancy in the last half hour talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his own, to look here in 1 John chapter 5 about the importance of putting our faith in Christ and becoming his own, right? So,
amen.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you, Terry, and God bless. We hope to hear from you next week, and we're going to run out of time here in just a few seconds. I hope you'll join us next week, and again, reminder, join us Friday at 1:30 with Laverne Gore on with us. But thanks for listening tonight. Have a good week ahead. God bless, and take care.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.